with again. We pray. O Lord, open our ears to hear, our minds to understand, and our hearts to believe your word. Amen. One more time, we ask the question, why you? Why in the midst of a growing famine are you being permitted to feast upon the word of God? You remember that the famine is that which is spoken of by Amos. Not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Many teenagers are hungering and thirsting for what they know not, but we do know they're hungering and thirsting for a message from God. One will bring them peace and comfort and hope, but they aren't receiving it. If they understood what it was that they were hungering for, they would know where to look and how to look. As it is, where do they search? Well, there are many of them who think that the best place to go is a church. Perhaps a church that makes them feel good. Or a church that tells them what they want to hear. A church that has a lot of nice sounding contemporary music. Or a church that mixes a poison of false doctrine in with the truth of, in the cup of God's truth. Or a church that hammers away at the law of God, but does not give that message of full and free salvation which we have through the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. Or church that does the opposite, that is, that one that talks about how much Jesus loves you, but doesn't tell you anything about how you should love Jesus. Or they might decide not to go to a church, but rather to go to a synagogue, a mosque, a temple. Again, searching, hungering and thirsting for hope and peace. But here you are, feasting upon the word of God. Feasting in the midst of the famine. And you do not have to search because you know where to go. But why you? And as I said last time, you're here feasting in the midst of a famine because of God. Out of the billions of people in this world, God has picked you and gave you his saving gospel. And yet once more I ask, why you? Did God choose you to be his child so that you could sit down in a heavenly living room, sit on some divinely soft chair and play video games? Did God choose you so that you could happily enjoy sports or theater at ILC? In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, the words of Jesus are recorded. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. I understand he spoke these words first to the 12 disciples. But if you search the rest of Scripture, you'll find similar things being said regarding all of Christ's disciples, regarding you, to go forth and bear fruit. What does that mean? Well, if an apple tree bears apples, what does a Christian bear? Other Christians. We've been chosen to receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. But not just for ourselves, we've been chosen to receive it so that we can share it with others. And through that message of forgiveness, other people can come to faith and be Christians. So if you ask the question, why me? I mean, if you're seriously asking that question about yourself, why me? Then take seriously the words of Jesus to go forth and bear fruit. Is that what comes to your mind as you consider life after graduation? Are you pondering how you, this specifically chosen person, how you, the child of God upon whom God has poured out his greatest blessings, are you pondering how you can go forth and bear fruit? You know how the first disciples did it. They went and proclaimed the gospel to the world. And the next generation picked up where they left off. And now you are the 80th generation of disciples. The very first thing that should come to your mind as you consider what to do with your life is to go forth and bear fruit. The world is full of good engineers, nurses, doctors, actuaries, farmers, pilots, soldiers, carpenters, therapists, and so forth. But the world is not full of good evangelists. There are very few. So why should you, of all people, place the public ministry first on your list of things to consider after graduation? And when young people consider what to do with their lives, they're encouraged to take a look at their talents, their gifts, their skills. So what does it take to be a pastor or a teacher? Well, in order to bear witness to Jesus, you need to be a witness. You need to have personally witnessed the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And you have. In your baptism, in the Lord's Supper, when the pastor proclaims forgiveness of sins to you, you are witnessing personally for yourself the message of the gospel. Reading your Bible, religion classes, and hopefully in the dormitory when you have discussions among yourselves. Of all the people in the world, you have what it takes to carry out this life-saving work, because you are witnesses of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. So you can bear witness. Now, I can very well imagine that some among you might be thinking, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be a teacher. Now, if at this point in your life you don't realize that God has chosen you to bring the good news to others, then you don't really know who you are. All right, you may not have the privilege of becoming a pastor or a teacher. It should be on your list, though. Regardless of your future occupation, you're still supposed to go and bear fruit. In your home, among your friends, at work, when you're playing sports, everywhere. So if this is what you're supposed to do anyway, why not put it at the top of your list of things to consider? You may not end up doing it, but it should be there. Don't miss out on this opportunity because it's not on your list. Or maybe because it's at the bottom of your list and you never got to the bottom. Jesus says, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Let us all sing from the heart the words of hymn 496, verses 2 and 4.